Hello everyone, I'm delighted to be with you today to give you an overview of the Code on Takeovers and Mergers issued by the SFC, also known as the Takeovers Code. By way of background, the Takeovers Code was first introduced in Hong Kong in 1975 and is a voluntary code which depends on the willingness of market participants to comply with it rather than the law to enforce it. It's administered by the Executive Director of the Corporate Finance Division of the SFC, known as the Executive, to ensure fair and equal treatment of all shareholders in relation to takeovers. People or entities in breach of the Takeovers Code may be subject to the SFC's private reprimand, public censure, and issue of a public statement which involves criticism, disciplinary action, or suspension. Under Section 1313 of the Introduction to the Takeovers Code, the Takeovers Panel can also require a person who has breached specific provisions of the Takeovers Code to pay compensation to shareholders who have suffered loss as a result of the breach. The Takeovers Code applies to takeovers and mergers involving public companies in Hong Kong and companies with a primary listing of their equity securities in Hong Kong. In determining whether a company is a public company in Hong Kong, the executive applies an economic or commercial test, taking into account primarily the number of Hong Kong shareholders and the extent of share trading in Hong Kong, amongst other factors. The Takeovers Code sets out 10 general principles which provide the acceptable standards of commercial conduct in relation to takeovers and mergers in Hong Kong that would also apply where it is not explicitly covered by the rules under the Takeovers Code. These 10 general principles include the following. All shareholders are to be treated equally. If control of a company changes, a general offer to all other shareholders is normally required. During the course of an offer, or where an offer is in contemplation, information made available to some shareholders must be made available to all shareholders, except for some information given in confidence to the potential offeror or vice versa. An offer should only be made after careful and responsible consideration. Shareholders should be given sufficient information, advice, and time to reach an informed decision. All persons concerned with offers should make full and prompt disclosure of all relevant information and take every precaution to avoid the creation or continuance of a false market and making statements which may mislead shareholders or the market. Rights of control should be exercised in good faith, and oppression of minority shareholders is unacceptable. Directors should have regard to the interests of the shareholders as a whole. The board of the offeree should not take actions to frustrate a proposed bona fide offer or deny the shareholders the opportunity to decide on its merits, and all parties concerned with takeovers and mergers are required to cooperate to the fullest extent with the executive, the Takeovers and Mergers Panel, and the Takeovers Appeal Committee. In addition to these principles, the Takeovers Code has 36 rules which apply the general principles. Turning to the types of offers covered in the Takeovers Code, there are two types, voluntary offers and mandatory offers. Any person or company can make a voluntary offer provided the consequence of such an offer does not trigger a mandatory offer or the 2% creeper rule. This would change the voluntary offer into a mandatory offer pursuant to Rule 26 of the Takeovers Code. Under the Takeovers Code, a general offer is an offer by the offeror and persons acting in concert with them, open to all the shareholders of the offeree company to purchase all shares from those shareholders, whereas a partial offer is an offer by the offeror to buy a part of, but not all of, the shares of the offeree company, which carries voting rights and are not held by the offeror and concert parties. So looking first at voluntary offers. A voluntary offer may incorporate any conditions except conditions which depend on judgments by the offeror or the offeree company, or the fulfillment of which is in their respective control or discretion. Under Rule 30.2 of the Takeovers Code, where all offers except partial offers made under Rule 28 must be conditional on the offeror having received the acceptance of shareholders whose shares, together with shares acquired or agreed to be acquired before or during the offer, will result in the offeror and people acting in concert with it holding more than 50% of the voting rights of the offeree company, unless with the consent of the executive sought by filing an application and payment of an application fee. This is usually referred to as the acceptance condition. A voluntary offer can be made conditional on an acceptance level of shares carrying a higher percentage of the voting rights, for example, 70% of the voting rights. If the acceptance level is not reached, the offeror is entitled to withdraw the offer. However, when setting the acceptance level, the offeror is reminded to observe the public float requirement under the listing rules. For both main board and GEM listed companies, at least 25% of the listed company's securities must be in public hands, unless the Hong Kong Stock Exchange has agreed to a lower percentage on initial listing. The offeror should not invoke any condition other than the acceptance condition that causes the offer to lapse, unless the circumstances which give rise to the right to invoke the condition are of material significance to the offeror in the context of the offer. A voluntary offer may not normally be made at a price that is at a discount of more than 50% to the market price of the offeree company's shares, which is the lesser of the closing price of the shares on the day before the announcement of a firm intention to make an offer under Rule 3.5 and the five-day average closing price prior to such day. This provision was introduced to prevent so-called lowball or 1% offers being used to frustrate the offeree company's business where there is no genuine intention to seek control. Under Rule 24.1A of the Takeovers Code, if an offeror or any person acting in concert with it has purchased shares in the offeree company within 3 months before the start of the offer period, or earlier in the case of purchases from directors or connected persons, or during the period between the start of the offer period and the announcement of a firm intention to make an offer under Rule 3.5, the offer must be on no less favourable terms than those applying to that purchase. An offer period commences on the making of an announcement of a proposed or possible offer. If, after an announcement of a firm intention to make an offer and during the offer period, the offeror or any person acting in concert purchases shares in the offeree company at above the offer price, the offeror must increase the offer price to the highest price paid for these shares, excluding stamp duty and dealing costs. The offeror is required under Section 24.3 to make a revised offer, which must be announced immediately after the purchase of shares at above the offer price. People who have accepted the original offer are entitled to receive the revised price. The consideration for a voluntary general offer may be cash or securities. However, under Rule 23.1, if the offeror and any person acting in concert has acquired for cash shares in the offeree company carrying 10% or more of the voting rights during the offer period and within 6 months before the start of the offer period, the general offer must be in cash or accompanied by a cash alternative at not less than the highest price paid for such shares. The executive also has a discretion to require cash to be made available where less than 10% has been purchased in the 6 months before the start of the offer period from directors or other persons closely connected with the offeror or offeree company. Conversely, under Rule 23.2, if the offeror and concert party has acquired shares in the offeree company carrying 10% or more of the voting rights in exchange for securities during the offer period and within 3 months before the start of the offer period, these securities are required to be offered to all other shareholders of that class. Unless the vendor is required to hold the securities received until either the offer has lapsed or the offer consideration has been posted to accepting shareholders, the offeror will also be required to make an offer in cash or to provide a cash alternative under Rule 23.1. In the case of a purchase from directors or persons closely connected with the offeror or offeree company, the executive may require a full share offer where less than 10% has been purchased or where the purchase was made before more than 3 months before the start of the offer period. The acceptance condition will be fulfilled when the offeror's receiving agent, which is usually the offeree company's registrar, receives an acceptance on or before the deadline for acceptance set out in the offeror's relevant documents or announcements, and the receiving agent has recorded that the acceptance and any relevant materials required have been received. The acceptance form should be completed and accompanied by share certificates of the relevant shares from a registered holder or his personal representatives and certified by the offeree company's registrar or the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. Under Rule 26 of the Takeovers Code, unless a waiver is granted by the executive, the offeror must make a mandatory offer to all the shareholders of the offeree company by the offeror. When any person or two or more persons acting in concert acquires, whether by a series of transactions over a period of time or not, 30% or more of the voting rights of the offeree company, or when any person or two or more persons acting in concert holding not less than 30% and not more than 50% of the voting rights of a company acquires additional voting rights that increase his or their holding of voting rights by more than 2% from the lowest percentage holding by that person or the concert group in the preceding 12 months. The latter circumstance is commonly referred to as the creeper position. Except with the consent of the executive, a mandatory offer must be made conditional only upon the offeror having received acceptances in respect of voting rights, which, together with voting rights acquired or agreed to be acquired before or during the offer, will result in the offeror and any person acting in concert with it holding more than 50% of the voting rights. However, where the offeror holds more than 50% of the voting rights before the offer is made, an offer made under this rule must normally be unconditional. In particular, a mandatory offer may not be made conditional on the passing of shareholders' resolutions of the offeror. The executive would allow other additional conditions to be imposed on a mandatory offer only in exceptional circumstances. Rule 26 can therefore have significant consequences for an unwary offeror. In addition to the obligation to make a mandatory offer for all the company's shares, it will lose the right to include the other conditions on which the offer could have been made. The mandatory offer required under Rule 26 is a general offer, as it should be extended to holders of each class of equity share capital of the offeree company, regardless of whether the class carries voting rights or not, and holders of any class of voting non-equity share capital in which the offeror or persons acting in concert hold shares. Under Rule 14, offers for different classes of equity share capital must be comparable, and the offeror should consult the executive in advance. The offeror may also apply to the executive by its lawyer or financial advisor to waive the mandatory offer requirements of Rule 26 in special circumstances. When the mandatory offer obligation under Rule 26 is triggered, under a whitewash procedure, the executive will generally waive the obligation if the whitewash waiver is approved by at least 75% of the independent vote at a shareholders' meeting, and separately, the underlying transaction is approved by more than 50% of the independent vote at a shareholders' meeting. Independent vote refers to a vote by shareholders who are not involved in or interested in the transaction in question. This means that transactions with a whitewash waiver application can only proceed to completion if both the underlying transaction and the whitewash waiver of the mandatory offer obligation are approved. If the shareholders only approve the underlying transactions but not the whitewash waiver, the underlying transactions may still proceed with a general offer provided the whitewash waiver condition is waivable. However, the executive will not normally grant a waiver if the person to whom the new securities are to be issued or any person acting in concert with them has acquired voting rights in the offeree company in the 6 months prior to the announcement of the proposals, but subsequent to negotiations or discussions with the directors of the company in relation to the proposed issue of new securities, unless the acquisition is by way of subscriptions for new shares, which have been fully disclosed in the whitewash circular, or if the voting rights have been acquired or disposed of by such persons without the executive's prior consent in the period between the announcement of the proposals and the completion of the subscription. The executive will consider granting a whitewash waiver under certain circumstances. The executive may waive the requirement for a person to make a general offer where the company is in such a serious financial position that the only way it can be saved is by an urgent rescue operation which involves the issue of new securities without approval by a vote of independent shareholders or the acquisition of existing securities by the rescuer, which would otherwise fall within Rule 26. The executive will not typically require a general offer under Rule 26 to be made, where the obligation to do so is due to an inadvertent mistake. as long as the person disposes of sufficient voting rights within a limited period to unconnected persons, a waiver will be granted. A waiver will also normally be granted where a shareholder who, together with persons acting in concert with them, holds 50% or less of the voting rights of a company, places some of his shares with an independent person, and then, as soon as practicable, subscribes for new shares up to the number of shares placed at a price substantially equivalent to the placing price less expenses. Unlike voluntary offers, consideration for mandatory offers must be in cash or be accompanied by a cash alternative at not less than the highest price paid by the offeror or any concert party for shares of that class during the offer period and within 6 months prior to its commencement, unless prior consent from the executive has been obtained. For considerations other than cash, the offer price must be determined by independent valuation. As I mentioned earlier, if the offeror or any concert party acquires securities in the offeree company at a price higher than the offer price during the offer period, the offeror must increase the offer price to at least match the highest price paid for those acquired securities. Many provisions of the Takeovers Code also apply to parties acting in concert with the offeror and to those who may have an indemnity or other arrangement with either party, such as induce them to engage or abstain from transactions. A person will be acting in concert with an offeror if, pursuant to a formal or informal agreement or understanding, the person is actively cooperating to obtain or consolidate control of the offeree company through the acquisition of voting rights. The definition of acting in concert includes a number of classes of person who are presumed to be acting in concert with each other, unless the contrary is established. These classes of persons include a company, its parent, its subsidiaries, its fellow subsidiaries, associated companies, or any of the foregoing, and companies of which such companies are associated companies, a company with any directors, together with their close relatives, related trusts, and companies controlled by any of the directors, their close relatives or related trusts of or of its parent, a company with any of its pension funds, provident funds, and employee share schemes, a fund manager, including an exempt fund manager with any investment company, mutual fund, unit trust, or other person whose investments such fund manager manages on a discretionary basis in respect of the relevant investment accounts, a financial or other professional advisor, including a stockbroker, with its client in respect of the shareholdings of the advisor and persons controlling, controlled by, or under the same control as the advisor, except in the capacity of an exempt principal trader or exempt fund manager, directors of a company together with their close relatives, related trusts and companies controlled by such directors, their close relatives and related trusts, which is subject to an offer or where the directors have reason to believe a bona fide offer for their company may be imminent. Partners, an individual, including anyone who's accustomed to act in accordance with the instructions of the individual, with his close relatives, related trusts and companies controlled by them, his close relatives or related trusts, and any person other than an institution authorized within the meaning of the banking ordinance, lending money in the ordinary course of business, providing finance or financial assistance, whether directly or indirectly, to any person or concert party in connection with an acquisition of voting rights, including any direct or indirect refinancing of the funding of the acquisition. There's a strong presumption, and the executive will draw the inference unless parties are able to provide clear evidence to rebut this presumption. Anyone dealing pursuant to an indemnity is also likely to be regarded as acting in concert. Whether a person is acting in concert is crucial to determining whether the 30% threshold has been reached, which will trigger a mandatory offer under Rule 26. If the offeror acquires just under 30% of a company, the offeror must ensure that there are no concert party holdings which will trigger the mandatory offer obligation. Various advisors will generally be involved in a takeover deal. Financial advisors generally advise on the financial aspects and participate in negotiations for the offer. Under Rule 2.1 of the Takeovers Code, it's also required that an independent committee of directors of the offeree company must obtain competent independent financial advice which must be made known to the offeree company's shareholders by being included in the offeree board circular. The board must announce the appointment of the independent financial advisor in the initial announcement of the offer or possible offer, or as soon thereafter as the appointment is made. Where the offer being made is a reverse takeover, or when the directors are faced with a conflict of interest, Rule 2.4 also requires the board of the offeror to obtain competent independent advice as to whether an offer is in the interests of the offeror's shareholders. The substance of such advice must be made known to the offeror's shareholders. In addition to advising on financial matters, the financial advisors may be responsible for the general conduct of the offer, the timetable, documentation, and liaison with the executive and the panel, although these additional roles may also be performed in whole or in part by the legal advisors. The legal advisors for both the offeror and the offeree company will be primarily responsible for advising on the legal aspects of the offer. They may also be involved in negotiations and be responsible for settling documentation and liaise with executive and the takeovers panel. The offeror or offeree company stockbrokers will need to be consulted on matters such as the market perception of the offer and liaise with other major shareholders and the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. The offeror or offeree company's auditors will assist in preparing the financial and other information required to be disclosed during the course of the offer. The offeror or offeree company may also employ a specialist press firm or financial PR company to assist in such matters in relation to press publications and liaison with the press. During the negotiations to finalize the terms of the offer, the offeror may also ask for confidential financial information of the offeree company. Under Rule 6 of the Takeovers Code, any information given to an offeror must, on request, be given to any bona fide competing offeror, usually on the same terms as to confidentiality. This requirement may affect the extent to which the offeree company is prepared to release information, even to a friendly offeror. Additionally, to ensure the success of its offer, the offeror may require certain shareholders to undertake irrevocably to accept the offer once it's made. These are known as irrevocables or shutouts if the commitment prevented another competitor from succeeding. The executive must be consulted before any approach is made to obtain an irrevocable commitment. The exception to this is where a very restricted number of sophisticated shareholders who have a controlling shareholder are approached. Rule 25 of the Takeovers Code also prohibits an offeror from entering into arrangements with shareholders of the offeree company with more favorable conditions which are not available to all shareholders. During the period of negotiations and throughout the offer, the need for absolute secrecy is vital. Any leak may give rise to speculation or a rise in share price of the offeree company, which may lead to the executive requiring a clarifying announcement and possibly to allegations of insider dealing. The Takeovers Code sets out specific situations in which announcements are required. For listed companies, announcements must be published on the websites of the Hong Kong Stock Exchange and the listed company in accordance with the listing rules. Whereas for unlisted companies, announcements must be published as a paid announcement in at least one leading English language newspaper and one leading Chinese language newspaper, published daily and circulating generally in Hong Kong. All documents must also be delivered to the executive in electronic form for publication on the website of the SFC. Rule 3.1 stipulates that an announcement must be made by the offeror or potential offeror in the following three situations. First, when before an approach has been made, the offeree company is the subject of rumor or speculation about a possible offer, or there is undue movement in its share price or in the volume of share turnover, and there are reasonable grounds for concluding that it is the actions of the potential offeror or persons acting in concert with it, whether through inadequate security, purchasing of the offeree company's shares or otherwise, which have led to the situation. Secondly, when negotiations or discussions are about to be extended to include more than a very restricted number of people, other than those who need to know in the companies concerned and their immediate advisors, and thirdly, immediately when the offeror triggers a mandatory offer obligation under Rule 26. After the board of the offeree company is approached, the primary responsibility for making an announcement normally is on the board of the offeree company. Rule 3.2 requires an announcement to be made by the board of the offeree company in four situations. When a firm intention to make an offer is notified to the board of the offeree company from a serious source, irrespective of the attitude of the board to the offer. When, following an approach to the offeree company, the offeree company is the subject of rumor or speculation about a possible offer, or there is undue movement in its share price or in the volume of share turnover, whether or not there is a firm intention to make an offer. When negotiations or discussions are about to be extended to include more than a very restricted number of people, other than those who need to know in the companies concerned and their immediate advisors. And when the board of the offeree company is aware that there are negotiations or discussions between a potential offeror and the controlling shareholders, or where the board of the offeree company is seeking potential offerors, and the offeree company is the subject of rumor or speculation about a possible offer, or there is undue movement in its share price or in the volume of share turnover, or the number of potential purchasers or offerors approached is about to be increased to include more than a very restricted number of people. Before a firm intention to make an offer has been notified, a brief announcement that talks are taking place or that a potential offeror is considering making an offer will be sufficient to satisfy rules 3.1 and 3.2. After the announcement of a possible offer under rule 3.7, monthly announcements must be made on the progress of the talks or the consideration of a possible offer until an announcement of a firm intention to make an offer under rule 3.5 or of a decision not to proceed with an offer is made. Under rule 31.1b, if a potential offeror announces that it has no present intention to make an offer, it will normally be prohibited from bidding for the offeree company for a period of 6 months. Under Rule 3.3, a potential vendor is required to make an announcement when there are negotiations or discussions between a potential offeror and the controlling shareholders, and the offeree company is the subject of rumor or speculation about a possible offer, or there is undue movement in its share price or in the volume of share turnover, and there are reasonable grounds for concluding that it is the potential vendor's actions, whether through inadequate security or otherwise, which have led to the situation. Once the terms are finalized, necessary irrevocables secured, and any required finance settled, the offeror will make an announcement of a firm intention to make an offer under Rule 3.5. This announcement does not constitute the offer itself. It must contain all offer terms. The announcement must also include confirmation by the financial advisor or another appropriate third party that the offeror has sufficient resources to satisfy the offer in full. Once this announcement is made, under Rule 5, the offeror must, except with the consent of the executive, proceed with the offer unless a specific condition has not been satisfied. Under Rule 3.8, after the announcement of a proposed or possible offer, the offeree company must publish an announcement giving details of all classes of its relevant securities and the number of such securities in issue. Relevant securities here include shares, convertible securities, warrants, options, and derivatives in respect of these securities. Under Rule 3.8, an offeror or potential offeror must also announce the same details of the relevant securities of the offeror, and if relevant, the relevant securities of the company whose securities will be offered as consideration for the offer after any announcement identifying it as an offeror or potential offeror. The purpose of this announcement is to allow shareholders of the offeror to determine whether they are associates of the offeror by virtue of holding 5% or more of its relevant securities and will then be subject to dealing disclosure requirements under Rule 22. Such announcement under Rule 3.8 must also remind associates of the offeree company, the offeror or potential offeror, to disclose their dealings in any securities of the offeree company. In a securities exchange offer, dealings in any relevant securities of the offeror or potential offeror, or of the company whose securities will be offered as consideration for the offer by the associates, must also be disclosed. Under Rule 19.1, by 7 p.m. on a closing date, the offeror is required to publish an announcement on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange's website stating whether the offer has been revised or extended, has expired or has become or been declared unconditional. A draft of the announcement must be submitted to the executive and the Hong Kong Stock Exchange by 6 p.m. on the closing date for comment. Moving on to dealings in securities by parties and their associates during the course of an offer, some types of dealings may simply require disclosure, while some may be prohibited and amount to a breach of the Takeovers Code. Part 15 of the SFO requires an acquisition of an interest of 5% or more of the voting shares of a Hong Kong listed company to be disclosed to the Hong Kong Stock Exchange and the company within 3 business days. An interest in shares includes an interest in the underlying shares of equity derivatives. Disclosure is also required if a notifiable interest increases or decreases across a percentage level. If the 5% threshold is reached, the acquisition or disposal of a short position of 1% or more in the voting shares of a listed company and a change in the percentage level of a short position must also be disclosed. Once an announcement has been made of a proposed or possible offer, disclosure must be made of all dealings by parties to an offer and their associates for their own account or for their investment clients in the relevant securities of the offeree company and, in the case of a securities exchange offer only, relevant securities of the offeror or of another company whose securities will be offered as consideration for the offer. If a potential offeror has been the subject of a talks announcement, the potential offeror and people acting in concert with it must disclose dealings under Rule 22, which include the identity of the potential offeror. Under Rule 22, dealings by the offeror, the offeree company, and their respective associates for their own account or on behalf of their investment clients must be disclosed to the executive by 12 noon on the business day after the date of the transaction. If dealings have taken place in the US time zones, the deadline for disclosure is 12 noon on the second business day following the transaction. The disclosure must be made to the executive in electronic form using the prescribed forms on the SFC's website. Dealings by the offeree company, the offeror, and their respective associates for their own account and for their discretionary investment clients are published by the executive on the websites of the SFC and the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. Dealings on behalf of non-discretionary investment clients must also be disclosed to the executive, but they will not be made publicly available. The disclosure obligation relates to all dealings during the offer period until the later of the date when the offer closes for acceptances, the date the offer lapses, an announcement that a possible offer will not proceed, the date of an announcement of the withdrawal of a proposed offer, and where the offer contains a possibility to elect for alternative forms of consideration, the latest date for making such election. Dealings during the period between the date when the offer becomes or is declared unconditional in all respects and the end of the offer period will not need to be disclosed. For the purpose of these disclosure requirements, associates includes anyone acting in concert with an offeror, potential offeror or offeree company, any financial and other professional advisor, including a stockbroker of the parent subsidiaries and fellow subsidiaries of an offeror, potential offeror or offeree company, including people controlling, controlled by, or under the same control as such financial and other professional advisors, other than exempt fund managers and exempt principal traders covered in Class 5 below. A holding of 30% or more of the voting rights of a company is the normal test of control. The directors, together with their close relatives, related trusts and companies controlled by any of the directors, their close relatives and related trusts of any subsidiary or fellow subsidiary of an offeror, potential offeror or offeree company. The pension funds, provident funds and employee share schemes of the parent subsidiaries and fellow subsidiaries of an offeror, potential offeror or offeree company. Any exempt principal trader or exempt fund manager, which is controlling, controlled by, or under the same control as the financial and other professional advisor, including a stockbroker of an offeror, potential offeror, or offeree company, its parent, subsidiaries, and fellow subsidiaries, and a person who, as a result of a transaction, owns or controls 5% or more of any class of the relevant securities of an offeror, potential offeror, or offeree company. This includes fund managers acting on behalf of its clients. The term relevant securities under Rule 22 are the offeree company's securities which are the subject of the offer or which carry voting rights, equity securities or shares of the offeree company, in a securities exchange offer, equity shares of the offeror or of another company whose securities are to be offered as consideration, securities of the offeror or of a company whose securities are to be offered as consideration, having substantially the same rights as any securities to be issued as consideration for the offer, and securities carrying conversion or subscription rights into any of the securities I've just mentioned, and options and derivatives in respect of everything I've just mentioned. Some dealings by the offeror or its concert parties may affect the terms of the offer. For example, dealings above the specified threshold may trigger the mandatory offer requirement under Rule 26. Additionally, under Rule 24.1, if the offeror or any person acting in concert acquires shares at above the price of the offer itself must be increased to that price. Under Rule 23.1a, if the offeror and any concert parties acquire more than 10% of the offeree company for cash during the offer period and within the 6 months prior to the offer period, the cash alternative must be increased to meet the best price paid within that period, even if its share alternative is in fact worth more. Rule 23.2 also states that a full share offer will be required if the offeror and its concert parties acquire offeree company shares carrying more than 10% voting rights of the offeree company in exchange for securities during the offer period and within 3 months before the start of the offer period. These changes in offer may also trigger the requirement to make an immediate announcement under Rule 3.6. The SFO contains insider dealing provisions which impose sanctions on persons who knowingly are in possession of price-sensitive information if they deal or procure someone else to deal in the listed securities or the derivatives of a company they are connected with or is the subject of the potential takeover. The insider dealing provision also covers acts of disclosing such price-sensitive inside information to another, knowing or having reasonable cause to believe that that person will use the information to deal or procure someone else to deal in the securities. Insider dealing is a criminal offence under Part 14 of the SFO and subject to a maximum of 10 years imprisonment and fines of up to 10 million Hong Kong dollars. Civil proceedings may be brought before the Market Misconduct Tribunal under Part 13 of the SFO, and anyone identified as an insider dealer may be disqualified as a director, prohibited from dealing in securities for up to 5 years, or required to repay any profit made from the insider dealing. There are also provisions in the Takeovers Code which restrict dealings in an offeree company's securities. In particular, Rule 21.1 provides that no dealings of any kind may take place in securities of the offeree company by any person other than the offeror who is privy to confidential price-sensitive information concerning an actual or contemplated offer or revised offer before the announcement of the approach, offer or revised offer. Such dealings in securities of the offeror are also prohibited by Rule 21.1 unless the offer or proposed offer is not price-sensitive in relation to those securities. If the consideration for an offer includes securities of the offeror or a concert party, under Rule 21.3, neither the offeror nor such person may propose or conduct any off-market share buyback or share buyback by general offer before the end of the offer period. This prevents an offeror from manipulating its share price during a securities exchange offer. After the announcement of a firm intention to make an offer, the offer document must be posted within 21 days or 35 days in the case of a securities exchange offer pursuant to Rule 8.2. The offer document must contain the information specified in Schedule 1 to the Takeovers Code, together with any other relevant information to enable the offeree company shareholders to reach a properly informed decision. The offer document should include the formal offer set out in the form of a letter, usually from the offeror's stockbroker or investment bank. This will include the offer price, information on the business of the offeror and of the offeree company, taxation advice, and the procedure for acceptance. There'll also be a letter from the board of directors of the offeror explaining the reasons for the offer. The offer document will also set out the formal terms and conditions of the offer, which will generally cover terms on acceptances, consents, other conditions, and other information. For terms on acceptances, as I mentioned, an offer must usually be made conditional on the offeror receiving acceptances, which, together with those shares already held or agreed to be acquired by it, represent 50% of the voting rights in the offeree company. In a voluntary offer, a higher acceptance level may be specified. When the original, a reduced level, is achieved, the offer is said to be unconditional as to acceptances. In practice, once an offer is declared unconditional as to acceptances, other shareholders will usually accept the offer fairly swiftly to avoid being left as a minority shareholder. All other conditions must be satisfied or waived within 21 days of the later of the first closing date or of the date the offer becomes or is declared unconditional as to acceptances. The offer will then be unconditional in all respects or wholly unconditional. The offer will usually be conditional on the offeror obtaining various consents. Some of these may be imposed by external requirements. Other conditions may include the ability of the offeror to withdraw its offer if there has been a material adverse change in the offeree company. In practice, this condition is likely to be waivable by the offeror. Finally, the offer document will contain other detailed information and terms, mainly in compliance with the Takeovers Code. This further information will include information on the offeror's intentions concerning the offeree company and its employees, financial information of the offeree company, information on how the offer is to be financed, details of shareholders and dealings by the parties and their associates, verification of profit forecasts, and so on. In the case of a securities exchange offer, the offer document will need to contain additional information in relation to the securities offered for exchange and details of the company whose shares are being offered for exchange. Under Rule 8.4, the offeree company is required to send a circular to its shareholders containing information set out in Schedule 2 of the Takeovers Code, including information such as the names of the offeree's company directors and of the directors comprising the independent committee of the board, any other information needed for shareholders to reach a properly informed decision about the offer, and setting out the views of its board or independent committee on the offer and the written advice of the independent financial advisor. In an agreed offer, it's encouraged to combine the offer document and offeree board circular in a composite document. If, however, the offer is contested or there is a competing offer, then the offeree board circular will be sent separately and must be posted within 14 days of the formal offer document. The offer period must be at least 21 days from the posting of the offer document, where the offer document and offeree board circular are posted on the same day or combined in a composite document. Where the offeree board circular is posted after the offer document, the offer must remain open for a minimum of 28 days from the posting of the offer document. Unless the offer is wholly unconditional from the outset, the offer must be open for a further 14 days after the first closing date on which it becomes or is declared unconditional, whether as to acceptances or in all respects. This is to allow shareholders who have not accepted the offer to have a second chance to accept the offer. The maximum period for which an offer may be open before it becomes or is declared unconditional as to acceptances is 60 days. To allow sufficient time for shareholders to consider the merits of an offer before it finally closes, the 39th day after the posting of the initial offer document is the last time by which the offeree company can announce material new information, such as trading results, profit or dividend forecasts, asset valuations, or major transactions. Under the Takeovers Code, the 46th day after the posting of the initial offer document is the last time by which the offeror can increase its offer. If a competing offer is announced, then Generally, the timing restrictions on the offeror will be relaxed to correspond with those relating to the competing offeror. Finally, under Rule 20.1, consideration checks must be posted to accepting shareholders within 7 days of the later of the date on which the offer becomes or is declared unconditional and the date of receipt of a duly completed acceptance. Given the importance of these issues, it's vital that the directors of the offeror or offeree company consult their advisors before speaking to shareholders or to the press. Under the Takeovers Code, all profit forecasts and valuations made by either side must be properly verified. These rules also apply to any informal or general statements, for example, profits have grown this year. Where such statements cannot be properly verified, the executive will usually insist that they are withdrawn as such. Parties involved in an offer must not publish misleading or uncertain statements. For instance, the offeror must not state that it might increase or extend its offer without actually committing itself to do so, or the offeree company must not make statements on a given level of support. The executive is likely to require that such statements are clarified immediately. The extent to which parties to an offer may contact the offeree company shareholders or induce them to accept or reject the offer is also restricted under the Takeovers Code. Additionally, the offeror or the offeree company should exercise great care when engaging with journalists and making statements, as they may be misunderstood or misattributed. In such cases, the executive may request a clarification or withdrawal to be made. In particular, discussions relating to sensitive subjects such as future prospects and asset values should be avoided. The directors of the offeror and the offeree company owe various duties to the offeree company and its shareholders under the Takeovers Code and Hong Kong company law, where applicable. As it is common that existing directors of the offeree company will resign on completion, the offeree company's existing board must ensure that there is a binding contractual commitment on the offeror to comply with the provisions of the Takeovers Code after the completion of the transaction. Directors of the offeror or the offeree company bear legal responsibilities to act bona fide in the interests of the company, to act for proper and not collateral purposes, to avoid conflicts of interest with the company, and not to make secret profits, and to exercise skill and care in the performance of their duties. The directors also have a duty to be honest and not to mislead the shareholders of the company. In addition to these legal responsibilities under the Takeovers Code, each director of a company involved in an offer must ensure, so far as they are reasonably able, that the Takeovers Code is complied with during the conduct of the offer. Although day-to-day conduct of an offer may be delegated to individual directors or committees, the board as a whole are responsible for monitoring the conduct of an offer to ensure compliance with the Takeovers Code. In particular, the board should impose arrangements to ensure that it promptly receives copies of all documents issued by the company in relation to the offer, details of all dealings in relevant securities by the company or its associates, and details of any agreements, understandings, guarantees, expenditure fees, or other obligations involving the company and the offer other than routine administrative matters. The directors with day-to-day responsibility for the offer are in a position to justify their actions to the board, and the advisors' opinions are available to the board for consideration. Board meetings should also be held as and when necessary throughout the offer to ensure that all directors are kept up to date with events. Documents and advertisements issued in connection with an offer must be prepared with the highest standard of care and accuracy. Rule 9.3 requires directors to be responsible for the accuracy of the information contained in all documents, and each document must contain a statement to that effect. Directors are not expected to confirm the accuracy of all the detailed information contained in the offer documentation. As such, directors are taken to have fulfilled their duty if they ensure that an appropriate procedure has been established and followed for checking the accuracy of the information concerned. When detailed supervision of any document has been delegated to a committee of the board, each of the other directors must reasonably believe that the persons to whom a supervisory role has been delegated are competent to carry it out and must have disclosed to the committee all relevant facts required under the Takeovers Code. Where any employee or advisor has been instructed to check the accuracy of any part of the offer documentation, the directors must be satisfied that it is reasonable for that person to be given the task, having regard to the nature of information concerned and to the extent to which it may require special knowledge of the company's affairs. Further, the person concerned must be given access to any necessary documents and the opportunity to discuss any points that arise with any of the company officers and advisors. Except for documents on the post-vetting list, all announcements and other documents may only be published after they are filed with the executive and the executive has confirmed that it has no further comments. A published version of documents on the post-vet list must be filed with the executive immediately after publication. Each director must sign a form of responsibility statement addressed to the offeror or the offeree company as appropriate, and its financial advisors to take responsibility for an offer or announcement which has been approved by the board or a committee of the board and of which he has not expressed disapproval. Once the board of a company is notified of an offer or has reason to believe that an offer is imminent, Rule 4 prohibits the board from taking any action which could frustrate the offer or deny the shareholders the opportunity to decide on the merits of the offer without the approval of the shareholders at a general meeting. In particular, the board must not issue any shares, create, issue or grant, or permit the creation, issue or grant of any convertible securities, options or warrants in respect of shares of the company, sell, dispose of or acquire assets for material amount, enter into contracts, including service contracts, other than in the ordinary course of business, or cause the company or any subsidiary or associated company to buy back, purchase or redeem any shares in the company or provide financial assistance for any such buyback, purchase or redemption. If the company is under a prior contractual obligation to take any of these actions or where there are special circumstances, the executive must be consulted. The executive may waive the requirement to obtain shareholder approval either in appropriate circumstances or when the offeror agrees to such waiver. Under Rule 2.1, when a board receives an offer or is approached with a view to an offer being made, the board must appoint an independent committee of the board to make a recommendation as to whether the offer is fair and reasonable and as to acceptance and voting. Members of the independent committee should comprise all non-executive directors of the company who have no interest in the offer other than as a shareholder of the company. If an offer has been withdrawn or has lapsed, neither the offeror nor any person who acted in concert with the offeror nor any concert party may make an offer for the offeree company or acquire any shares of the offeree company, resulting in an obligation to make a mandatory offer under Rule 26 within 12 months from the date of withdrawal or lapse of such offer without the consent of the executive. However, the executive will normally grant consent when the new offer is recommended by the board of the offeree company and the offeror is not or is not acting in concert with a director or substantial shareholder of the offeree company. Consent is not normally granted within 3 months of the lapse of an earlier offer where the offeror was prevented from revising the offer by a no increase or no extension statement. The new offer follows the announcement by a third party of an offer for the offeree company, or the new offer follows the announcement by the offeree company of a whitewash proposal or of a reverse takeover which has not failed or lapsed or been withdrawn. Additionally, under Rule 31.3, a person holding at least 50% of a company's voting rights and its concert parties can't make a second offer to acquire shares from any shareholder in that company at above the offer price of a previous offer made by them to the shareholders of that company in the 6 months after the end of the offer period of the previous offer, except with the consent of the executive. For this purpose, the value of a securities exchange offer is calculated as at the later of the date of the offer document or the date the offer became or was declared unconditional. For a mandatory takeover, an offeror who has within 4 months of posting the initial offer document by virtue of acceptances of the takeover offer acquired or contracted unconditionally to acquire at least 90% in number of the shares to which the offer relates, can give notice to the remaining shareholders that it desires to acquire their shares. The offeror must give this notice before the earlier of 3 months after the end of the offer period of the takeover offer and 6 months from the date of the takeover offer. Within 2 months of receiving such notice, a shareholder can apply to court for an order that the offeror is not entitled to acquire the shares or for an order varying the terms of the acquisition. If there's no such application, the offeror must, within 2 months from the date of compulsory acquisition notice, send a copy of the compulsory acquisition notice to the offeree company, together with the necessary instruments of transfer and the consideration. The offeree company must register the offeror as holder of those shares. Alternatively, Section 700 of the Hong Kong Companies Ordinance gives minority shareholders the rights to request for a buyout if the offeror has acquired or contractually agreed to acquire at least 90% in number of shares in the offeree company before the end of the offer period. The offeror must give notice to the relevant shareholders of their rights under Section 700 and of the period during which those rights are exercisable. The notice must be given within 1 month of the Section 700 rights arising. A shareholder must exercise the right to be bought out within 3 months after the later of the end of the offer period and the date of the offeror's notice. Where it's proposed that an offeree company will be delisted after a general offer, the resolution to approve the delisting must be approved by 75% of the votes of disinterested shareholders, and the number of shares voted against the resolution must not exceed 10% of the votes of all disinterested shareholders. Under Rule 2.2, the offeror must also be entitled to exercise and must exercise its rights of compulsory acquisition. This is to ensure that passive minority shareholders are not left holding illiquid shares in an unlisted company. For companies that are incorporated in jurisdictions that do not afford compulsory acquisition rights, such as the PRC, the executive will require them to put in place arrangements to protect minority shareholders in order to obtain a waiver from the compulsory acquisition rights condition. The arrangements required to be put in place are intended to provide shareholders with the greatest opportunity to exit their investment and require that when the offer becomes or is declared unconditional in all respects, the offer must remain open for a longer period than normally required by Rule 15.3. Shareholders who have not yet accepted the offer must be notified in writing of the extended closing date and the implications if they choose not to accept the offer, and the resolution to approve the delisting must be subject to the offeror receiving valid acceptances amounting to 90% of the disinterested shares. So that brings me to the conclusion of this presentation. Thank you again for joining me, and I hope you enjoyed the webinar. Bye.